I want to sort of pick up on where I was last Wednesday night. It'll be a little different flow. If you weren't here, get that CD. I believe it was last Wednesday night we taught on psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. It'd be good for you to get that service if you didn't listen to it and, hear that before, in order to help understand where we're going here tonight. But in Ephesians, it talks about, in chapter number 5, if you want to turn there and look at this again with us, I've said to you a number of times that it's important to Pastor Debbie and I, as your pastors, to not just teach the Word to build people's faith, to receive from the Word, but to teach this congregation about the things of the Spirit, the move of the Spirit. Amen. How many of you know we're in the last days? God said He would pour out of His Spirit upon all flesh. And we need to be a part of moving with what the Spirit is saying and what the Spirit is doing. I think there's some things we need to say eventually about, Anyway, there's just some things we need to say eventually. Right. I won't go there right now because I'll get off the subject. But anyway, so there's some things we need to say eventually. I know that you don't know what I'm talking about, but there's some things you need to say. Probably some of you do know what I'm talking about. But the thing that we need to realize is that some things, especially beyond our own individual needs or our own lives, or let's put it this way, the realm of our own authority, you can't use your faith for. You can use your faith. Your faith is primarily for your own life and your own household, your own realm of authority, which would include over your children. If you have children, at least till they come to the age where they know better than to ride your coattail in faith. Amen. But primarily, that's what your faith is for. It's for your own individual needs to be met and so forth and so on. And there are times you can use your faith for other people, especially if they give you permission or if they request you agree with them. Remember, the Bible talks about the prayer of agreement and so forth and so on. But some things are not in your realm of authority. And I think Christians, maybe we teach on faith and preach on faith. Maybe we don't say this enough. Some Christians frustrate their faith trying to use it outside of their realm of their authority. There's more than one kind of prayer mentioned in the Bible or in the New Testament. And as New Testament believers, we need to recognize that and realize that not every prayer will work in every case. If it would, why would we have different kinds? If the prayer of faith would work for everything, why is there such a thing as the prayer of supplication or the prayer of intercession? There's different kinds of prayer. So there's different kinds because one of them won't work in every situation. You understand that? Concerning this election, for example, the prayer of faith wasn't enough.
Yes, sir.
I mean, that's obvious.
Yes, sir.
You understand? Yes, sir. So different kinds of prayers have to be prayed in different situations. Amen. 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 That's awfully weak out there. Amen.
Amen.
So we got to recognize that.
Yes, sir.
And because of maybe what we have emphasized, we've got to keep reminding people of that because we've emphasized faith. But we've got to keep reminding people that there's different flows of the Spirit. And just trying to faith it all. I hate to say that because you use faith in everything you do. But in other words, just trying to pray the prayer of faith in every situation is going to get you, it's going to be limited in how much results you can get in your prayer life. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So we've got to learn to move with every kind of prayer that the New Testament teaches. And especially, there's two kinds that we should emphasize. We should really emphasize all of them. The prayer of agreement, the prayer of faith, the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of consecration, committing yourself to the plan of God and so forth and so on. There's all kinds of prayer. Prayer of thanksgiving and praying in tongues, and there's all different kinds of prayer. But then there's two here I think that we should be emphasizing, and I'll say something about them, and that is the prayer of supplication and the prayer of intercession. Most of the time in the New Testament, when the New Testament teaches the prayer, uses, whenever the New Testament uses the word prayer, or the King James uses the word prayer, let's put it that way, many, many times, not every time, there's all different kinds of prayer, but many times you look that Greek word up and it's the Greek word translated in most other places, supplication. And so the Bible, the New Testament talks probably as much or more about the prayer of supplication than it does the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith is mentioned over and over and over and over again. But supplication, we've got to understand supplication just as much as we understand the prayer of faith. And we've got to understand there's another kind, supplication and intercession. We've got to understand intercession. 1 Timothy 2:1 says, I would to first of all prayers, supplications, intercessions be made for all men. Isn't that right? For kings and for all that are in authority. Isn't that right? So if prayer, if supplication and intercession are the same thing, why would he mention them different? Amen. If I said, I would therefore that you give me a Ford F-150 pickup truck with a King Ranch package, and so forth and so on. And I want you to give me a Ford F-150 pickup with a King Ranch package. Wait a minute, that's the same thing. That's the same thing. I said, that's the same thing. But so when he said here, I would that prayers, supplications, intercessions. Now see, that tells you that there's something, intercession, something different than supplications. Isn't that right? So the thing we've got to understand now, when we start talking about some of these other kind of prayer, and particularly the prayer of supplication and intercession, we've got to understand that both of those in the New Testament, we're told that both of those are done in the Spirit. You read Romans 8, where it talks about, likewise the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But himself, the Spirit, King James says he helps. He takes hold with us against our infirmities, the Greek says. And he says that we are to pray that prayer with in the Spirit there. Amen. I would, first of all, let me get it over here. I'm trying to pull it up out of my spirit. Romans 8, likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, King James says itself, it's himself, makes intercession. What kind of prayer is he talking about? Intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. He that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit. He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who does? The Holy Spirit through us. In other words, he helps us to pray. And this is done by the Spirit, or with the help of the Spirit, which is what in the Spirit means.
Amen.
So this is done in the Spirit.
Yes.
Then you go over to Ephesians 5, you know, the armor of God, verse 10 down through verse 17, put on the whole armor of God, and mentions the armor of God. Then verse 18, praying. Praying. Always. Always. With all prayer. King James says all prayer. Others say all manner of prayer. Then he mentions one specifically, and supplication. Then he said this, in the Spirit. So when he mentions supplication, he specifies particularly that one's done in the Spirit.
Amen.
In other words, you do this under inspiration of the Spirit. That's what it means for the Spirit to help us. In other words, he's taken hold together with us. Are you with me? In the Spirit. In other words, this is done in the Spirit. Now, what God's endeavoring to get the church to do, can you hang with me here a little bit? I'll just circle the airport and get landed here eventually. He's endeavoring to get to the church to the place where she recognizes that there's different kinds of prayer and different ways that things and situations that arise, whether it be the lives of others, whether it be our own life or the life of others or the life of our nation or situations, there's different ways that things need to be approached.
Okay. Yes, sir.
And sometimes the prayer of faith, where you pull a scripture out of the New Testament and say, I'm just going to stand on the word, is not going to work. Because you're out beyond, some things are out beyond your realm of authority. And the prayer of faith is just for your, remember he said, you'll have what you say.
Yes, sir.
What things soever you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. He didn't say whatsoever you desire for somebody else.
Right.
He said you desire.
Yes, sir.
You pray.
Amen.
You believe that you receive and you shall have. A whole lot of you in there. So that prayer, that's the prayer of faith, and that's not really to be prayed for other people. Now, you can pray the prayer of agreement with somebody, and that would be the prayer of faith with two people getting in. The prayer of agreement is the prayer of faith with two people agreeing on the same thing. But see, whenever just praying for somebody else in some other situation that you don't know anything about or that they don't have faith to receive that thing for, you can't pray the prayer of faith for them. Somebody said, well, I just use my faith for anybody. And well, then go into the hospital and clear it out.
Yeah.
I notice you haven't done that yet.
Yeah, right. Come on.
And neither have I.
Yeah.
Somebody said, well, if Jesus was here, you know, he just healed everybody. Well, we have record in his own hometown. He could there do no mighty work.
Yes. Yeah.
And it tells us why. He marveled there because of their unbelief. He didn't just clear out the sick wards. And remember one place he walked into five porches full of sick folk, and he only ministered to one of them.
That's right.
And that man himself didn't even know who Jesus was, so it wasn't his faith.
Right.
He didn't have faith because he didn't even know who Jesus was. I mean, you can't have faith without knowledge. So it was a gift of the Spirit. We know that from the whole story. You read the whole story and find that out. But Jesus in his own hometown didn't just clear out his own hometown.
Right.
I mean, clear out all the sick people, heal all the sick people. Isn't that right? And in Luke chapter 4, Jesus said, because Jesus in his own hometown there. Now, we just quoted the account there. Go over to Luke chapter number 4. It says, Jesus said something interesting because, we just referred to Jesus in his hometown, and I was really referring to Mark chapter number 6. And you know, I don't want you to turn there, but I'm saying Jesus in his own hometown, he could there do no mighty work, it said. You remember? And he marveled. He went about the cities and villages teaching, and then it said he marveled because of their unbelief. That's verse number 6. This is Mark 6, 1 through 6. He could there do no mighty work, it said in verse number 5. Now, why couldn't he do any mighty work? Because of their unbelief, verse number 6 says. So that's Jesus in his own hometown. But go over to Luke chapter number 4, and you also find Luke's account or Luke's record of this same incident in Jesus in his own hometown. So he's there preaching, the Spirit of the Lord's upon me. Remember, Luke chapter number 4, verse number, starting in verse number there, 18. Luke 4, are you with me? If you look at verse 16 there, it talks about he went to his own hometown where he'd been brought up, Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach. So he's anointed to do all these things, to heal, to minister broken to the brokenhearted, heal the captives, so forth and so on. He said that to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. He closed the book and gave it again to the minister and sat down. The eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. And all bear him witness, wondering at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? In other words, we know him. And he said unto them, ye will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Now, that doesn't mean because you're sick, you need healing. Get healing for yourself. The rest of the statement gives clarification to what they meant. Physician, heal thyself. In other words, whatever we've heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. Now, when they said heal thyself, that means just do it yourself. I mean, just pick somebody out of the crowd here that's sick and just heal them. If you claim to have this power, just do it. You claim to have this healing anointing, just do it. You say to this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatever we've heard you've done in Capernaum, because there's many miracles happened over Capernaum, and the news traveled. Whatever we've heard you've done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. He said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth. Notice, Many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was through all the land. Elias is Elijah. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, you know that story. That was whenever the barrel of meal, because remember he said, make me a little cake first. And she said, well, gathering for our last meal. Me and my son, we're going to die. Well, make me a little cake first. For the word of the Lord is, and here's what God said to him. He'll tell you this. You know, the barrel of meal not fail, the cruse of oil not fail, until the time this, that's basically say, by the time, till the time this famine's over. Hallelujah. And that barrel of meal kept on multiplying, and they ate for, the Bible said, many days. And I think it'd be appropriate for us to surmise that they ate for the rest of the famine. Praise God. That's a miracle. What is that? The multiplication of that meal, the multiplication of that oil.
Yes, sir.
I mean, they'd take a scoop out to make some cakes.
Yep.
And the next time they'd go back, and that, there would still be the same amount.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Woo!
Yes.
I mean, forget grocery shopping whenever that's in manifestation. Amen. Praise God. That's a miracle. That's a multiplication. Remember, Jesus multiplied the bread and the fishes? That's a multiplication of food, multiplication to make it stretch, to make it go, make it reach to the end, to meet the need. Praise God. That's what miracles are for, to meet God's people's needs. My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And in that glory includes miracles. Praise God. So Jesus said, Elias, and so he's in his own hometown, and he said, you're going to say to me, just do it. If you got this power, just do this. And Jesus said, well, let me explain something to you. He said, Elijah had miracle power working in his life and ministry. And during the days of the famine, he only could make it work for one widow woman. Isn't that what he's saying? I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heavens were shut up in 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, there was a woman. Unto a woman that was a widow. In other words, there were many widows. In other words, here's what he's saying. There were many people with needs. Many needs. Well, here's what Jesus is saying. Elijah couldn't just make that work for everybody. Now, you got to understand what he's talking about here. He's not saying that any person in that day, because they had a covenant with God, that any person in that day could have used their faith in the covenant and got a miracle and had their need met. Just believe in God's word.
Yes, sir.
They could go back and read and find somebody that the word of the Lord to Moses, some promise or some kind, where they had. Remember, they could go back to the multiplication. What really was the manna coming out of the sky and say, you supplied their needs and you made us a covenant to supply our needs. And you said in the covenant that we would have, we would lend and not borrow, and all those things were already in their covenant. They already had that part. And then David came along later and said, I was young and now I'm old, never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. That's because he knew the covenant. Amen. And anybody could have stood on that word. Any widow could have stood on the covenant rights and say, well, I'm living right for God. I'm doing what God said, and I'm believing God, and they could have got a miracle. But what he's saying is, this is something different than that. Elijah couldn't use his faith for every widow. He could only use his faith for himself. And when God led him how to do this and led him to a widow, that he also, I'll tell you, this is a manifestation of more than just faith. This is a manifestation of working of miracles.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's what this is. Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
I know you don't know really where I'm going, but I'm getting there. I'm really talking about getting into some of these places where these things work. Because I want to see these things in greater measure. God wants to manifest himself in greater measure. And it's going to take going through some doors that we were talking about last Wednesday night into these rooms and realms of the Spirit to where these things operate through being people who are people of prayer, being people who go through the doors of speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs and get into some realms of the Spirit that we haven't been walking in. It's a form of insanity to keep doing the same thing and expect something different, some other different results.
Yes.
Amen. If we want to see something different, we're going to have to do something different.
Yes. That's right. That's Amen. Right. Come
Amen.
On. Yes, sir.
Amen.
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 So we're going to have to respond to the Spirit and some of the things we were talking about last Wednesday night about going through the doors of these utterances, speaking divinely inspired utterances, being continually filled with the Spirit. Because remember I said to you, there's two main reasons, I think last Wednesday night, two main reasons that the Spirit of God manifests himself. Number one, because somebody has that gift and it's given as equipment for them to stand in that office. Or second of all, it manifests because somebody just stays full of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And see, speaking in divinely inspired utterance, speaking in tongues, speaking in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is a means of staying full of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And that's not just for preachers.
Come on. Come on. Yep. Come on.
This is for all of us.
Yes, sir.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So all of us should be practicing this. And as we do, we'll get into deeper realms of the Spirit and greater moves of God, and we'll see more signs and wonders and miracles. Because we're staying fuller.
Yes, yes, sir.
Yeah. Tell your neighbor, now I don't know if he's talking about you, but I think all of us could help, get helped by this. Hallelujah. So he said here, Elijah couldn't just turn this on and make this work. Amen. Now, what we're needing to learn to do is, because we preach the word here and endeavored to get people to believe the word. And not letting go of that, we need to also be open to the Spirit of God coming upon us and moving with the Spirit and ministering by the Spirit.
Yes.
And in that way, you can get things that people don't even have faith for.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
I remember one time, I was up in South Dakota, preaching. We had a number of services scheduled, but we preached on Sunday morning, and we're going to come back Sunday night. And we did come back Sunday night, but Sunday morning at the end of the service, I'll never forget preaching, and as I was getting ready to close, the anointing came on me for word of knowledge. Now, You don't understand that unless you've been in different flows of the Spirit, and different flows of the Spirit are different. You can sense the difference to it. I almost want to say they feel different, although it's not a feeling, but it's just a different anointing. I know what the healing anointing is like. I know what the anointing to prophesy is like. I know what the revelation gifts anointing is like, and there's different anointings. Tongues and interpretation, I know what that anointing is like. And it just, and this anointing came on me, and whenever it came on me, I knew what it was. It was one of the revelation gifts. But whenever it came on me and I started yielding to it a little bit, I instantly knew what the Lord wanted to say, and I instantly, but it was a little different than it had up until that point. I had never had a manifestation like this. So when the anointing came on me and I dipped into my spirit, I found out that the Spirit of God wanted to do something unusual, different. And I spoke out. I said, there's a couple here. There's some people here that you have a son. I could see it all in my spirit. It was revelation. It was a revelation. And I just called it out. Just said what I saw. I said, you've got a son. This son's, I said, between, upper teens, lower 20s age, right in there. And this son has gotten away from God, number one, and is out in sin. But he also left your home. You know, children can leave the home at that age in fellowship with the parents and in fellowship with God. But this son had left out of rebellion, and I saw that. And I said, this son, and he's gotten away from not only God, but he's gotten away from your home and out of fellowship with you, mom and dad. I said, I don't know who that applies to, but here's the word of the Lord to you. The word of the Lord is, he's coming home in Jesus' name. Well, we all rejoiced, and I didn't know who it was for. I just gave it out. whatever. I don't remember. We did something else. I don't remember. But then turned it over to the pastor. Well, that was Sunday morning. Come back Sunday night. And this couple had a testimony for us. They came and they said, "We got to tell you what happened." They said, "He's been away, I think, for, what was it, 2 years or something. It's a long period of time, you know. And hadn't been home. They hadn't seen him. Didn't know where he was living. Well, they found out some of the details. He's living with some friends doing drugs in their basement, you know, and where some parents that allowed that to happen in their home. You know, some people barely are parents. Amen. So, but this kid, he's living in somebody's basement doing drugs with his friend, all that stuff. And they found a little bit of that out, but they didn't know exactly where everything was, and he'd move around. Anyway, but they hadn't seen him for all that time. But they came, that was Sunday morning. They went to lunch Sunday afternoon after church, went home, and his car, the son's car, is sitting in their driveway. They pull up beside it, and there he is sitting in the car. When they pulled up, went in the garage, he opened the door, got out, and came to meet Mom and Dad and said, "Mom, Dad, I woke up this morning. And I started doing my thing, going about my day, and something just told me it's time to come home." Hallelujah. And he said, "So I figured it's time to start growing up and stop living like this." And he's sitting there waiting for him, because he didn't have a key to the house, you know, sitting there waiting for him in the car. And got back in fellowship with parents, got back in fellowship with God. Hallelujah. Well, see, that wasn't something, it was someone. Someone. If you've ever had anything like that happen, where the Spirit of God manifested himself like that, you're like, "I want that every service." Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want that every, I mean, give us that kind of thing every service. But see, you can't make it work every service. Now, there's people here that have children that have gotten away from them. And if I could, I would make it work every service. But see, some things are not my realm of faith. Number one. And number two, if the Holy Ghost doesn't manifest himself, I can't work it up. I mean, you can go through all the emotions and say those words, but nothing's going to happen. Because you're not under the anointing for it. You're just doing it in the flesh. Am I making any sense? But blessed be God, brother and sister, when the anointing comes on you and that starts operating, you feel like you can run through a troop, leap over the wall. Watch out, devil. Here we come, you know. I'll tell you my favorite, when I think my favorite manifestation of the Holy Ghost is special faith. When that anointing's on you, watch out. I mean, everything. I mean, see, you're not operating in your faith. Now you got a special endowment of the Spirit and where you're infused with the faith of God. And you decree something, and it just as if God himself is speaking. And you can't even doubt it. You feel like Superman all of a sudden. You're like, boom! Shirt busts open, and you're like, I'm not trying to be sacrilegious, but I'm just telling you, when that kind of power comes on you, it's something else. And you want to can that. I mean, it manifests in the service. Like, give me 75 cans. I want to fill every can and put a lid on that, so the next service we can pop that open. Woo, 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 woo. But you can't do that. That's what Jesus was saying here. You'll say to me, Jesus is saying there in the hometown, you'll say to me, "Physician, just do this here. I mean, if you got this healing power, just do it." He said, he's basically saying, "I can't." Isn't that right? Somebody said, "Whoa, Jesus can do anything. I mean, that's bad doctrine." Well, read Mark's account of the same thing. And Jesus said he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. In other words, there's two ways these things work. They work by faith, and they work by manifestations of the Spirit.
That's right.
Hallelujah. So God wants us to get accustomed to flowing. Not we preach and teach the word, all right, and we need to continue to do that, but he needs to get us accustomed to flowing with the Holy Ghost and responding when the anointing comes on us.
Right. Yes, sir.
Recognizing what anointing it is. What are we supposed to do with this power? Because how many of you know you can, the Bible says to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You can have the anointing come on you for one thing and you do something else with it and abuse that power and not have any manifestation. It's a little like when the anointing comes on people to be lay hands on, be filled with the Holy Ghost. The anointing comes on them, pray in tongues. Because the Bible said they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. But sometimes you lay hands on people, the power of God comes on them to be filled with the Holy Ghost and to speak with other tongues. And they don't want to speak. They want to shake. They want to jerk. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
They want to shout. And they shout that power right off of them because that's not what that power is for. It's to speak in tongues. And sometimes when the Holy Ghost manifests, we want to shout and run, but it wasn't for that.
Right.
It was for somebody to get out of a wheelchair.
All right now.
Or somebody to be healed or somebody to something else.
Yep.
So in other words, we got to be good stewards of this and learn to know the different anointings and not just shout just because we feel the anointing. Just shout.
Right.
Just shout and run.
Yep.
Shouting and running. There's a time to shout and run.
Right.
Amen. But see, we don't want to dissipate that power whenever it was supposed to be directed towards a certain situation.
And
minister to somebody.
Amen.
Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
Now, if you look closely here in Luke 4, we see the first account there where Jesus illustrated why he illustrated that these things manifest as the Spirit wills and as the anointing comes on him to manifest, not just as he willed. You'll find the first case, he said in verse 25, I tell you the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months. Great famine. So now, that is where Elijah said to King Ahab, under the inspiration of the Spirit, there'll not be rain nor dew on the earth until I say so. Remember that? This was judgment because of Ahab's sin and Jezebel's sin. And he said, there won't be let's you and I go outside and point to the sky without the anointing and say, now it won't snow again until April, you know, spring rains start falling. It will not snow again in Jesus' name. If you're in the flesh and don't have the anointing, listen, what the anointing of special faith. You can do that, but it won't work. Elijah didn't just say that because he's mad. Are you with me? That was a manifestation of special faith. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
But he couldn't just do that at will. The anointing came on him to do that. Second of all, that's the first illustration Jesus gave. Then the second illustration, verse 26, none of them was Elias sent. Then he's talking about no widow. Was Elijah sent to, save unto Sarepta, city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. Now, we know that story. That was where the barrel meal multiplied. And Jesus is talking and referring there to the manifestation of the working of miracles. All right? That's the second gift of the Spirit he's referring to here. Now, look at verse number 27. Many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elias. Now, that's Elisha, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now, that's gifts of healings. So Jesus was talking about the power gifts. And he said, of the three power gifts, we know what the three power gifts are. You go to 1 Corinthians 12, you can see them there. It says, where one is given by the Spirit, and it mentions there's 9 gifts of the Spirit. 3 of them are the power gifts. One is special faith. Next is gifts of working of miracles, then gifts of healings. In that order. Special faith, working of miracles, then gifts of healings. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Those are the power gifts. And Jesus is referring to all the power gifts here, and he mentions a case where each of those gifts was in manifestation there in Luke 4, didn't he? Are you with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
And he's saying you can't just turn those on and turn those off at will. You can't just pull them out of your pocket and use them like you might carry around something in your pocket and just pull it out and use it whenever you need it. He's basically saying, I can't make it work just at any time I want. You know, physician, just make it work here. Remember, that's what they said. Just do it. Just manifest it. Jesus is saying, well, I can't. Now, some people don't believe that. Some people say, well, Jesus can do anything. When he walked the earth, he just healed anybody. Okay, well, are you sure about that? 100% sure? Well, Jesus' own hometown, Mark 6, he said he couldn't. And he couldn't because of their unbelief. Now, what he's saying was, if he had, if they would get into faith, then that power would operate. But he wasn't controlling that. The woman with the issue of blood was healed, but she was healed before Jesus even knew it happened. Somebody said Jesus was controlling that. No, he wasn't. And the Bible said that she reached through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, Mark 5. And for she said, there's her faith speaking. If she said, if I may touch but the hem of his clothes, I shall be whole.
Right.
And the Bible said, immediately she felt in her body she was healed of that plague. Jesus immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that's King James Greek word for power there, virtue or power had gone out of him. Yeah. Notice that language. Jesus knowing immediately that power had gone out. So by the time he knew it, it had already gone out. So Jesus wasn't controlling that. Because if he would have had, okay, I sense power wants to go out. I give it permission. No, that's not what happened. In that case, he didn't, by the time he knew it, it had already happened. In other words, he wasn't controlling that. He wasn't saying, well, it's my sovereign will that you not be healed, so it's not going to flow out. Or it's my sovereign will that you be healed, woman with the issue of blood. Which, by the way, Brother Copeland says she's not the woman with the issue of blood. She's the woman that had the issue. Used to have an issue of blood. When you meet her in heaven, she won't have an issue of blood. I love that. But Jesus wasn't controlling that. It went out before he even had the time to say, wait a minute, it's not God's will to heal you. Which means that anybody can receive by faith.
Yes.
But if people are going to be in unbelief, you can't make things work for them. Unless the anointing comes on you. And I've been there. I remember one time preaching up in a city. There's a couple of little cities around. But this one particular city, we were in Maine preaching. Not Portland, Maine. What was the name of the... Anyway, doesn't matter. Pastor Rogers up there, he's a good man. We were preaching and he had three or four pastors come together and hold a meeting. Augusta, Maine. And he had four pastors come together and they all got this big civic center and we had a meeting. He invited us to come. And so, boy, I like meetings like that. You get people in there that don't hear the word of faith much. You get all kinds of manifestations. Amen. People that know about faith, that God expects more out of them. So we were preaching, and I'll never forget, I was preaching along, and the anointing came on me. Actually, what happened was, I spoke with tongues and interpreted, and while I'm interpreted, I saw in the realm of the Spirit something God wanted to do. And then I acted that out, which I'm getting ready to tell you, and whenever I acted it out, the power fell. That's divine order. Because God always says something before he does it. And the power gifts, the utterance gifts say something. And if you yield more to the utterance gifts, which you don't have to wait for the Spirit to will on, according to Ephesians chapter number 5.
That's right.
He said, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Be continually filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's the gift of prophecy, under inspiration of the Spirit. That's an utterance gift.
Amen.
But he didn't say as the Spirit wills. No, he just said do it.
Right.
Be continually filled doing that.
Yes.
Well, how do we expect to ever have these greater things if we're not faithful to just do what God already told us to do? Just continually being filled by speaking in psalms, hymns, speaking in tongues. But let's get beyond just speaking in our prayer tongue and let's pray like Ephesians, like 1 Corinthians said, pray to interpret.
Yes, sir.
I don't think I can interpret, Pastor. Well, he said, ask God to interpret.
Yes,
how can I ask God for something that's as his will? Well, it must not be as his will, as he wills.
Right.
It must be you can pray to interpret.
Yes, sir.
He said to do it. Well, I can't. Well, who said?
Exactly.
Not the Bible. Anyway, some of you are thinking. See, we've got to be faithful with these lesser gifts because they're the doorway into all of this.
Yes.
We were preaching last Wednesday night, not just being filled one time, but being continually filled. How? By these speaking under divinely inspired utterances. That's number one, tongues. That's number two, interpretation of tongues. Number three is prophesying. You ought to be singing in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs under inspiration of the Spirit. Now, I won't ask because I don't want anybody to be embarrassed, but how many of you did it between now and last Wednesday night? Are we doers or are we just hearers? I'm concerned too much of the word we preach here is just heard, not done. Amen. Not mad at you, just encouraging you to see. We need to have a greater move of the spots. And these are the doors, these are the ways, these are the things of the Spirit which you must be faithful to go on into these other realms. Amen.
Amen.
Just go ahead and start out. Say, well, sorry, I can't. Well, by faith, just start out.
Yeah.
The Bible said to prophesy by faith. Yeah. He that prophesies, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Now, you're not going to give a public utterance in tongues predicting when Russia's going to attack Israel and all of that. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about just in your own private prayer life for your own edification. Amen. I mean, people want to do it in public, but they don't do it at home. What's that mean? They're trying to get attention. They're just not really wanting to be a blessing. They're just trying to get attention. My goodness, I'm having too much fun. I ain't even got off page one yet. We got to get into this. So I spoke there and talking about Augusta, Maine. You thought I forgot. I spoke with tongues. I'm preaching along. Got under inspiration of preaching. Got this preaching by inspiration. And then I had an utterance in tongues, just like right there. And I interpreted it. And while in that case, not in this case, but in the other case in Augusta, as it was interpreting, I saw myself doing something. That's a revelation gift. That's a revelation of God wanting to do something. And so, as I was interpreting, I saw myself. There was a young man over on this aisle. There was aisles like in this auditorium. There was a young man sitting back here on the end, sitting back there. He's, I don't know, maybe less than 20 years old, upper teens. He had a hoodie on, a big hoodie, and he had a darkness on his face. He's sitting there scowling. And when I'm interpreting, I saw, and the power of God came on me, and I saw myself walking out over to him and standing a few feet away from him there and say, step out into the aisle. And so I did that. I just acted that out. Remember, Jesus said, I just do what I see my Father do, and I just say what I hear my Father say. That's not just for Jesus. Anybody that prays will get over into the spirit of seeing and knowing.
Amen.
If you pray right. Pray in the Spirit and not just pray little canned prayers out of the daily bread box. Whenever I was growing up, Mom had this little plastic loaf of bread, and it had all these cards in it, and you pull a card out and you read your daily bread, you know. That's not led of the Spirit. Amen. So, amen. So I said, I just obeyed. I just saw that. I walked over here and I said, step out in the aisle. He said, me? I said, yeah, you. And then I walked up to him, laid hands on him, and the power of God came on him, and he fell out under the power. Now, he's not accustomed to that. His parents weren't coming to this church that I, you know, the main pastor that invited me there to begin with. They weren't going to his church. They're going to one of these other churches, one of these dead ones. Tell me I'm preaching the truth.
Tell the truth. Come on.
No power there to set people free. You can see by the way he looked. Amen. So I said, step out in the aisle. Me? Yeah, you. So he stepped out in the aisle, laid hands on him, power of God fell on him. He fell out under the power. He wasn't used to that. He didn't know what happened. In fact, he lay there for a while, then he came to himself and got up and stared me down like, what'd you do to me? Except it started working on him. That power started working on him. He sat down beside his dad, and his mom and dad are sitting right beside him. I've told this story. You remember his mom and dad sitting right beside him. And whenever he sat down, his dad, the power is still on that young kid. And that power, when he sat down beside him, got on his dad sitting right beside him and healed his knees.
Hallelujah.
And he started saying, my knee, it's free, it's healed. Now, they were denominational people. I think they must have been born again, but the kid wasn't. But I think the parents were. But the kid got saved.
Yeah.
Actually, the whole family started going to this pastor's church that invited us there to begin with. And they all got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. Or he got saved, the kid got saved, got filled with the Holy Ghost. They all got filled with the Holy Ghost and really started growing and coming into the things of God. But see, but what I didn't know was that kid and that dad had been sitting there while I'm preaching, talking. I was preaching on the power of God or something. I don't remember what I was talking about. Something about the power of God. And they were sitting there mocking me and saying, ah, he's making all that. And they were mocking. And God decided to just demonstrate. I didn't know they were sitting there mocking. Watch out for God, you know. Hallelujah. Now, that man didn't get healed because of his faith. He's sitting there mocking. What is that? That's a gift of the Spirit, gift of healing. But you see how we got into that? By edifying ourselves before the service, praying in the Spirit, then got over into the service, and then yielding to those utterances, those divinely inspired utterances. Interpreting was included. Speaking in tongues and interpreting was included. And then a revelation gift came in manifestation. I operated in that, and the power gift came in manifestation. And God was able to do something that somebody didn't even have faith for. Healed that man's knees. And it turned that whole family around. They all got in that church and started growing. They became a great blessing to that pastor, actually. And that young kid got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, went home and tore his old, you know, rebellion posters off of his bedroom walls and said, I'm going to serve Jesus now. And came to Bible school at Rhema. We still lived in Tulsa. Came to Bible school, went to Rhema, and finished Bible school, and then helped us in the ministry for a while before he moved back up there to help his pastor some more. Hallelujah. Well, we want to see more of that. But I can't just turn it on. But what can I do? I can yield to these things that keep me full of the Holy Ghost and create an atmosphere for God to speak something, for the Spirit of seeing and knowing to operate, so we know what to do and we can get through the doors, get into these things. If you want to get into something, you got to go through the door. So can you see how this dovetails with last Wednesday night? Praise God. Hallelujah. We want more things that God does like that. I do. Pastor Debbie does. Are we in agreement? I believe we are. I believe there's good unity here. But I want you to see here how Jesus basically said these three power gifts, you can't just turn them on, turn them off. Isn't that right? Remember Paul in the 16th chapter of Acts, was the Bible said that he went there, I forget the name of the town he was at, but this lady, this girl actually, followed them around for many days. And it says Thyatira, I believe it was. It says there's this damsel, verse number 16, this is Acts 16:16, this damsel that was possessed of a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by the soothsaying. She followed Paul and us, this is Luke writing, he wrote the book of Acts by the Spirit, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show us unto us the way of salvation. Notice, it says, and this she did many days, verse 18. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of the Lord Jesus, or of Jesus Christ, to come out of her, and he came out the same hour. And you know the ones that were making all the money got all stirred up a riot and all that. But I wanted you to see this demon is manifesting in Paul's presence, saying these men are the servants of the Most High God, which is the true information. How many of you know you can't be, you got to be, just because somebody supernaturally is able to say something, some revelation doesn't mean it's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
This lady was speaking by a spirit of divination. She was speaking true information, which she knew by that spirit. She didn't know that in the natural. She didn't know Paul and Silas. But she said that by the spirit of divination. Well, the Bible says she did this many days. Why on earth would this great apostle Paul, who had the anointing to minister to so many and did so many things and had all these gifts of the Spirit in manifestation and wrote all about the gifts of the Spirit and knew about them and everything like that, why on earth would he let that happen for the many days? Because the anointing had not come on him to deal with it. Someone said, doesn't he have authority? Well, in his own life, But to cast out something out of somebody else, you got to have their permission. She hadn't given him their permission. She didn't ask them to pray for her. She didn't use her faith. She didn't hear them preaching and say, I want to be free from this thing. Nothing like that. But guess what? If the Holy Ghost come on you, oh, watch out. And that must have been what happened. The Holy Ghost came on Paul, and that's that anointing of really was special faith. That's one. That's how you cast out devils. Special faith is the gift that you cast out devils with. Unless somebody comes and they request to be free. Now they're using their faith. You know, it's a different situation. But these other situations. Are you with me? So he had to wait for the Holy Ghost to manifest himself. And so what we're wanting is a greater move of the Spirit. So let's do all that we can, all the Bible instructs us to do, to get in the doorway where these, in the room where these things manifest. We can't manifest the Spirit, nor are we called to manifest the Spirit or make the Spirit do something. But we can go to the room, go to the door or through the door and get into the places where the Spirit does manifest himself as he wills. And there's a whole lot of things we say as he wills. And so many times we say that as if, well, and he doesn't will. No, there's a lot of things he wants to do. He just needs somebody to respond to him. In some of these ways that gets us into these rooms.
Yes, sir.
And prayer is one way to get into some of these places. Now, we can't make it work. You know, if it just worked because, in other words, if it was all up to us, and we're the ones just make it work because we pray a lot and so forth and so on, then we can take all the credit and all the glory. But see, God won't do that. God won't let us have the credit and have the glory. So it's still as he wills.
Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
But we can at least do what the Bible says to stay full of the Holy Ghost where these things are manifest more often. The Bible said in Acts 13, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, do this. Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work of. See, notice, the Holy Ghost didn't manifest that way until they spent some time in prayer.
Amen.
And you can see that in the book of Acts, a connection between their prayer life, and I'm not talking about the prayer of faith. I'm talking about what we started out with, the prayer of supplication and intercession. Are you with me tonight? And we've got to understand the prayer of supplication. It's not the same way. It's not, you know, you just make your claim, say, Father, I believe I receive, thank you for it, I'm going my way, praising God. No, you spend time pouring out your heart to God, yielding to the Holy Ghost as he gives you utterance in other tongues, praying things out. And as you do that, that's the atmosphere the Holy Ghost speaks in. Or let's put it this way. It's the atmosphere that you become sensitive and where you hear him speak. He might have been trying to get something across to us for days or weeks. But we get quiet, getting this kind of prayer life, getting this kind of prayer, when all of a sudden these things start manifesting because we got in a place where we were able to hear. Are you with me? Jesus said, I just do what I see my Father do. I just say what I hear my Father say. Where did he hear it? Where did he see it? He saw it in prayer. The place of prayer is the place of seeing. The place of prayer is the place of hearing. Now, it doesn't manifest because you saw what to do and because you heard what to do. It takes faith to act on that. When I saw I needed to minister to that young kid, I had to act on that. That didn't manifest because I saw it. Manifest because I stepped out. That's our role to step out.
That's right. Our part.
But on the other hand, we can't make anything happen.
Yeah.
Am I preaching all right?
Yes, you are.
Real good.
Yes.
Real good.
Yeah.
And this is just not for services. This is just not for ministers. This is for your personal life.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
You see yourself doing something, just go do it.
Yeah.
Just go do it.
Yeah.
Under the anointing.
Yes.
Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Yeah. Under the anointing.
Yeah.
Glory be to God. Woo! Glory be to God.
Yeah.
Well, I did that before. Not under the anointing. Not under the anointing. Maybe you did it before, but you did it in the flesh. Now you're doing it by the leading of the Spirit because you spent time in the presence of God and he showed you. You saw yourself doing it.
Yes, sir.
And you might do the same thing you did before, but now you're doing it under the anointing. And it's the anointing that destroys the yoke.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Woo. glory be to God. Glory be to God. I've done it. I told you I was going to preach myself happy. Now we're talking about Jesus. People say, well, Jesus, you know, he just healed everybody and, you know, kind of if they wanted it or not or whatever. No. You never see Jesus not healing somebody that came for healing. Because that's their faith in manifestation. That them coming is a manifestation of their faith. But you see Jesus going to some to minister to them because he's good and he wants to minister to all that didn't receive him and didn't mix their faith with what he said, what he preached, the Spirit of the Lord's on me. And you see cases like that where people didn't receive. Isn't that right? And Jesus didn't just walk around healing every sick person. Somebody said, how do you know? Well, take, for example, Acts chapter number 3. Jesus, Peter and John, they went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. Ninth hour. Yeah, that's 9 o'clock in the morning. Because it starts at midnight. That's 9 o'clock in the morning, or did it say 10th hour, whatever, but I think it's the 9th hour. They're going up to the temple to pray, and the Bible said as they passed by, they went through the gate called Beautiful, the Beautiful Gate, that's the name of the gate, up into the temple. And the Bible said they went by a lame man who was laid there daily. Does daily mean daily?
Yes, daily.
He was laid there every day to beg alms. He's a crippled man. He's you know, got a cup, taking, receiving alms for the poor. And so they'll give people given to him. And he's laid there daily. Now you read your Bible and see if Jesus didn't go through that gate 40 days earlier. He went through that gate. You can read it over in the end of the Gospels. He went through that same gate 40 days earlier. Walked right past that man.
Yeah.
If he's laid there daily, he walked right past that man.
Yes,
he walked right past the crippled man. And didn't heal him. Why not? Didn't he have healing power? Yeah. But that man didn't cry out like blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, Jesus! Thou son of David, have mercy. Blind Bartimaeus called. He used his faith. And Jesus said, your faith has healed you. But this man didn't do that, apparently. He just let Jesus walk. What's the crowd about? What's the crowd about, huh? Where's everybody? Where's the crowd? This man could see. He's crippled. But he's probably trying to figure out because he can't stand up. What's the crowd about? Who's Jesus? You know, who? But he didn't call on him. Didn't receive his healing. He didn't. So Jesus walked right on by. He would have walked right on by blind Bartimaeus. Now, Peter and John, we have record of, they went up to the temple more than once to pray. They might have done that every day as well. Peter and John might have walked past that man a number of days themselves to go up to the temple to pray. Why didn't they minister to him before? No faith. He didn't call out. He didn't ask. He didn't receive. He didn't say, I believe Jesus can heal me. Would you lay hands on me or something like that? He didn't. But this day, they're walking by. And the anointing dropped on him. Now we're cooking with peanut oil. I don't know if you know what that means or not. Hallelujah. We need to set up scenarios where these things can manifest. I was talking to Brother Richard Roberts on the phone, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, maybe back somewhere a little after Christmas. And I said, I sure enjoyed it. I watched one of his broadcasts where he does that live stream, that healing service over live stream. And I said, man, that was so good and so thankful for how God's using you and all those people that received. He said, that's a setting in which the gift of the word of knowledge works real well in. So I wanted to set up a setting where it works. I thought, that's wisdom right there. He sets up scenarios where this can work. Now, he can't make it work. But he sets up situations and scenarios.
Amen.
We need to set up situations and scenarios.
Yes, sir.
So they're walking by and here that anointing falls. Boom. Look on, Peter and John said, look on us. Because they asked him of alms. Look on us. I'm closing. Look on us. And he looked expecting to see or receive something from him. He said, silver and gold have I none. That just means none on us right now. Silver and gold have none, have I none, but such as I have, give I thee.
Yeah. Yeah.
What do you got? In the name of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Rise up and walk. And he rose up and walked and leaped and praised God. Went into the temple and everybody's looking at Peter and John like they had done something. Peter said, don't look on us. Is that by our own power, holiness, that we've done this? He said, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you crucified. And then it goes on and says, through faith in his name, yea, the faith which is by him.
Yes. Yes.
Now that tells you what it is. The gift of special faith.
Amen.
Kicked in when they walked by.
Yes.
In other words, the anointing for that dropped on him when they walked by.
Hallelujah.
Woo, glory to God.
Glory.
Are you ready to not just receive by faith, but to have services where the anointing just drops?
Yes, sir. Amen.
Yes.
Woo, glory. That's what God wants us to believe God for. See, that our faith would not just be in, you know, the Word, but we'd have faith, like 2 Corinthians 2 says, faith in the power of God. Amen? How do we exercise faith to get into that? We speak in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Speak in divinely inspired utterance. Stay full. Come to services full of the Holy Ghost. Don't just come to get something. Come full. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Stand up with me. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Where God wants us to learn to yield to the anointing when it falls. Well, I thought it just fell back there in the day of Pentecost. No, it fell on the day of Pentecost, but then over in the 10th chapter, it fell again. Amen. The anointing still falls. God wants us to be aware of when the anointing falls and then say, oh, here it is. What's that for?
Come on.
Amen. I was in a healing line, and Pastor Joe Hebert's church down kind of in the area of Orlando time. He's since gone on to heaven, but we were preaching down there years ago. And you've seen us here in our church, but one of the, if everybody that's here has a gave a testimony of their healing, there would be more healings in this congregation, and this is true everywhere, with our ministry, Pastor Debbie and I's ministry, other people, different things. But there would be more healings of people in bones and joints and things like that than any other thing. Because in our lives, that's a gift of healing. There's the healing anointing that anybody can receive by faith, but then there's a gift of the Spirit that operates in the area of healing of bones and joints. Well, we were in a ministry line down in this church, in Pastor Joe Hebert's church, and in Florida, and and we're in the healing line. I'm going through the line, and I'm going through the line, and I get there's a man standing in the line. I didn't know who he was. I'd never met him before. The pastor knew him, knew all about him, what he was there for, and his testimony and everything, or his story. And but as I got close to him, I'm coming down. Let's say he's standing. Come up here, brother. And let's say he's standing right there. Turn around and face me. Let's say I'm coming down the line, and I'm about right here. And I got another person, and then I'm going to lay hands on him. And I get right here, and I go to lay hands on this person, and something fell on me. I didn't know who it was for, except I didn't even lay. I'm laying hands on this person, and he, the man in the line beside this person, fell out. Thank you. That's all I needed. And I could feel that power surging out of me into him. I didn't even lay hands on him. And for about, I don't know, two or three people after that, it was real strong. And then it was back to the regular healing anointing. I didn't know for sure what that all was at for a moment until I got the testimony. That man, now, we have a gift of healing in the area of for bones and joints and, you know, healing of those things and, you know, arthritis and stuff like that. And what happened was, I'm ministering under the normal healing anointing, but when I got close to someone that had a need in the area of bones and joints, something additional came on me as a gift of the Spirit. It wasn't the normal healing anointing. It was a gift of the Spirit. Knocked him out before I even got to lay hands on him, because the anointing came on me to minister, and it was strong enough just being close. Remember, Peter got so close where people's shadow, his shadow would fall on people. It wasn't the shadow that healed. It was that he got close. Now, there's degrees of anointing. Sometimes it's not that strong, but it gets real strong. You get close to people and they'll fall out. That's what I'm looking for, stronger anointing. Hallelujah. 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 Now you can understand why some things didn't work in the election. That's what I wanted you to see tonight.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Some of you just got a flash.
Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I'll finish that man's testimony. That man that fell out down in Florida. Because I didn't know his story, but he had been getting stiff in his joints, arthritis setting in, I think, every joint in his body. And whenever he was getting stiffer and stiffer, he finally had to resign his job. He couldn't move enough. And the doctor said, you're eventually going to become so stiff you can't move. So you got to decide if you want to be in a seated position or if you're going to be in a lying down position. I mean, every joint just locked up. Can you imagine? It's like you're in a prison. It's like you're alive, but you're in a prison. That's the devil. But he was getting real stiff, and he had to resign his job already. And then we had a camp meeting there for a few days, and I think it was the next service or the one after that or a couple services later, whatever it was. He told us his full testimony. In fact, I think, if I remember right, Pastor had him come up and tell everybody. But he said, I had already quit my job. He said, I wasn't able to get out and do things like I used to. He said, my boy, he wasn't that old. He said, my boy, I didn't get out in the yard anymore and throw football with him because I, you know, just hurt so much. Just trying to get the football to, you know. He's locking up. That thing's setting in. He said, but whenever I got in that healing line, that power knocked me out on the floor. He said, I got up and I'm completely free. Every joint's free and every joint's loose. And he said, I've been around here for a couple of days of this meeting. And he said, I'm already free. And said, in fact, I already got out in the yard and threw football. He said, I called my boss back and said, I can come back to work now. And he's already back to work.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I don't remember if the man had faith or exercised faith at all, but I just know that was something different than just the normal healing anointing. What are we trying to say? We've got to covet these things. The job God has for us to do in Eastern Iowa won't get done just by teaching the word and getting people to believe it. We'll never quit doing that because if you don't have a manifestation of the Spirit, you can get healed anyway or you can receive from God anyway. But not everybody's going to do that.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I mean, that's the truth. I'm not hallelujah, but that's the truth.
Yeah.
We're going to teach people once they get in how to use their faith. Because you don't need to wait on a manifestation of the Spirit. But in order to get the harvest reap, we've got to have this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. What if the testimony was so strong in Spirit of Faith Family Church that you could tell somebody every time a sick visitor comes to Spirit of Faith Family Church that gets healed, and you tell somebody that you're talking to, now I invite you to come on Sunday morning.
Yeah, come on. Yes, sir.
Amen. I can't promise every person's going to, but see, if we get so under such an anointing and such a flow of the Spirit that it's just constant through our obedience to stay full. Go through these doors. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's the kind of church Pastor Debbie and I are looking for. That's the kind of church we're pressing towards. Are you ready to go with us? Hallelujah. 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 Woo! Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Whose ears keep, you didn't get it, you know, by, you can just get under a, in water in a swimming pool and get clogged up in your ears. But you didn't get it that way. Just for some reason, your ears keep going closed. Who is that? Somebody here. In the name of Jesus. Anyone else? Right here. Right here. Now, we minister to you under the anointing of the Spirit. Be opened. Right now, ears be open. Be opened, ears. Be opened. And stay open in Jesus' name. 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 Whatever's causing that, whatever the root of that is, we command it to be fixed. We command it to be changed. We command it to be healed. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Father. 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 Can somebody interpret for Mama? Can you interpret for Mama? Are you needing something physically, Mama? Can she hear you? What'd she say? In her back. Step out in the aisle. In the name of Jesus. I lay hands on you under the anointing of the Holy Ghost and command your back to be healed, all the pain to go. Be straightened in Jesus' name. Be straightened in Jesus' name. Be straightened in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Begin to move it, Mama. Do you know anything about the condition and what it was? Was it painful? Was it crooked? Or it was painful. It used to be painful when you bent or when you sat. What was happening? When she would sit or bend over. Okay, bend over again in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. What happened? No more pain. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I looked back here and I was drawn to you. That's why I came back to minister. I didn't have revelation of what it was. But you got it. Hallelujah. Ha ha. Ha ha. Receive the power of God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Ha ha ha. Yeah, you're going to live a long time, aren't you?
Yes, sir. 138.
Good. All right. I'll hang around to watch it.
Praise God.
Woo, glory. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thank you for all those doses of the Holy Ghost. Keep him strong. Hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
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 My, my, my. My, 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 my. Hallelujah. Somebody's left ankle's been hurting. Begin to move it. There's power flowing there. It'll just, the more you move it, the more the pain will go away. Who is that? Your left ankle. Who is that? In the name of Jesus. If you're on live stream, just begin to move it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise God. Yeah. What was going on, Miss Sandra? Like just one of them? Your left one. How long was that happening?
I don't know. Off and on, probably about months. I don't know.
couple months? Years? Months? Many months. We'll say months. It just popped open. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Where's Brother Juan? Is he on? Oh, you're on a camera. Oh, there you are. Well, you're close by to your wife. Praise the Lord. I see that there's something from time to time, it seems to go in cycles, that tries to get into your home. And at times it just seems like the atmosphere of the home tries to change. Does that mean something to you? Does? I got your witness. How about you? In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that. And right now, command it to leave forever and never come back. That spirit, in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, you see, yeah, to Oshe, Ekatoya, Arabani, Eribedi, Erikuta, Pasakia, Erederi, Botarushi, Ekaman, Dandarishi, Aradana, Namblishiki. Yeah, 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 I see. Monsha, Kai. Now you go, now you go, now you go, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. I don't fully understand that, but I see it, Father. That began all the way back in Mexico, but it's gone. Gone. In Jesus' name. Freedom in that house. Freedom in that house. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 That's one reason I know there's such a thing as, you know, hormonal issues after a mom has a baby sometimes. And that was involved. But that's one of the reasons you got attacked so strong. Having your babies. No more. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha ha. Ha ha. I don't know what you're going to do about more babies, but I'm just simply saying no more. Praise the Lord. Well, did you get anything out of the service tonight? I don't know about you. I enjoyed tonight. Yes. Turn to your neighbor and say, we are people of the Word, but we're also people of the Spirit.